Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Bob Wesley, who is the Chief Strategy Officer at Baris, and Tony Phoenix, who is VP of Operations at Shortcuts. Hey, Bob. Hey, Tony. Thanks for joining me today.
Good morning.
Pleasure.
So just to give people a little context, Baris is a software company that helps a variety of businesses optimize and secure their payment processing across all channels, including mobile. And Shortcuts, as its name kind of implies, is a leading supplier or provider of salon and spa business management solutions. So what I thought we'd talk about today is some of the challenges and opportunities that exist in the retail environment around point of sale, and specifically omnichannel, and how Tony and Bob, you guys are grappling with that. So let's get started. Tony, omnichannel is certainly one of the biggest buzzwords that is making its way around retail and payments. And I'm just curious to get your perspective on what you are doing specifically to keep up with what you're hearing from merchants with respect to the omnichannel opportunity and how you're addressing it.
A lot of the challenge we're facing and what our customers and the merchants are looking to solve is how do you address the customer where they're at? You have to deal with your customer when they're physically in your store, but also when they're out online interacting in the world. And online has really transitioned in the last several years from just simply, you know, at your home, at your desktop computer, to the mobile devices and the fact that you really can connect from anywhere, anytime, any way. And so you have to be able to engage that customer in the way that they want to engage. And for Shortcuts, you know, the salon and spa world tends to be very traditional in that we don't have traditionally a huge e-commerce presence, but even that's starting to shift from a product sales standpoint, as well as customer interaction, bookings, advanced payments for services, so salons can actually take deposits and payments up front before the customer ever arrives. And so the ability to seamlessly integrate those customers into the experience, into that salon environment, no matter where they're at, becomes crucial. And payments is a huge part of that, because how you swipe a card in store versus how they enter that information online, and as well as keeping that compliance, becomes important. So for Shortcuts, we're starting to evolve. We're always going to have our traditional installed software in the stores, but as well, we're offering more of a cloud service at the same time, and we'll see more and more of our clients move that direction. So by doing that, we've partnered with Oris and the Oris Pay system, because it allows us to really have that seamless transaction experience for the customers. They can do it and they can interact from anywhere they want, and Oris helps to manage all of that and provides that frictionless experience, if you will, for the consumer, but also providing the merchant the insights and information they need to be able to move forward.
Well, what's interesting about the salon experience is, in many ways, it is sort of the quintessential blurring of on and offline, because you can, on a mobile device, decide to book a spa appointment or a salon appointment kind of on the go on your mobile device, yet you're consuming the service, obviously, in a physical environment.
Exactly, and that's, you know, when people look at e-commerce, they look at an Amazon or, you know, similar to digital delivery with Netflix. You really can't digitally deliver a haircut or a color or a massage. And so it's how do you marry that remote presence with that physical experience? And it makes life interesting for our users, especially because salon and spa customers aren't necessarily focused on technology. They're creative. They're interested in what they're delivering. And so it has to be a simple solution for them, and that becomes very critical.
Do you think that that having the ability to deliver an omni-channel experience like you've just described creates a sticky consumer experience? I mean, I would imagine it would, because thinking of myself as a customer, if it's just easy to transact, that particular place will become my go-to.
Absolutely. We introduced online booking several years back for our customers, and what we found is that 70% of bookings are made after salon hours. And so if you make it easy for that customer to transact, they're more likely to come back. If the, you know, people don't want to have to pick up the phone, sit on hold to try and make an appointment when they can do it in half the time digitally in the middle of the night if they prefer.
So Bob, what are some of the idiosyncrasies involved in supporting the kind of experience that Tony and I have just been talking about?
Well, I mean, one of the things is you want to be able to identify the client if they're making an online purchase or a purchase in the store. And sometimes they might make a purchase online, and then you have to provide them with a refund in the store. And you want to do that in a way that you're not revealing any sensitive card data. And so what we do is we provide a service called tokenization, which allows you to seamlessly provide that experience depending upon where they pay. I mean, consumers want to research, order, and pay any way that they want to. The other thing that we see is that more and more retailers and hair salons, for that matter, want to be able to pay in different places in their store. They don't always want the customer to stand up and, you know, actually make a payment at a register after they've completed receiving their service. So the introduction of mobile POS devices with the ability to accept payments is becoming a bigger trend. And, you know, we don't want them to just swipe a card in the clear on a tablet. We want to be able to protect that card data no matter where it's swiped or wherever it's presented. And so we work with companies like Shortcuts to take the complexity of payments away from that whole process.
So let's talk about another topic of conversation that I'm sure has a lot of bearing on what you're doing, Tony and Bob, how you're responding, and that is the data breach. So, you know, there were another two over the weekend. It seems that there is a breach a week. How do you take that aspect of risk and vulnerability and address that in the solution that you provide to these salons and spas?
The risk is definitely a key factor for us and something we're very concerned about and very aware of. Every time we see one of these hit the news, and the most recent, I think, with Kmart and in the past with Target and Home Depot, we start getting calls from our customers saying, hey, am I secure? Am I protected? You know, I'm concerned that I'm going to be hacked. And that's actually why we've partnered with Auris, because the way that the solution is implemented, all of that data, the credit card data, is encrypted right there on the device immediately. The computer, the software, never see it. The information's never exposed. It's never sent in the clear in any way. And by doing that, this is the absolute best way to secure that data. There's almost the risk is so small of that ever being able to get out that we don't ever worry about it. It's not something that we're really particularly concerned on our day-to-day that there's going to be an exposure or a theft from that point. The advantage really to Auris and the way that we've implemented this is that, as well, it keeps the software out of scope in that we're not having to worry about every time something happens, we have to quickly release a new version of the software and then do all the retesting as well, which delays our response to the market. We can release the software. We can focus on what we do best, which is providing the experience for the salon owners and stylists as well as the consumer, and not worry about the payment technologies piece of it.
So Bob, give us a little bit more context around how you're actually delivering what Tony just described.
Sure. We almost call it the separation of church and state. We basically have segmented the payment process completely from the payment register or the POS register where all the software basically resides. And we've taken it over, and in the payment terminal, which can be, you know, a customer-facing terminal or some payment-based device on a tablet, we control the complete software, and we've isolated that software, and we don't allow any software to creep in to that terminal. We put a lot of intelligence in that terminal to, you know, check a lot of things like, are you really the right register? This is how you're going to give me the data format. And we control the whole process upstream. A lot of these breaches occur because when people swipe the card, there's sometimes a temporary period of time where the data is not encrypted. It's put into a temporary storage. I mean, this is the way a lot of these traditional registers were made. And when that happens, this back-off malware or any other type of malware can snip that transaction or scrape that transaction and you know, export it to God only knows where, China, Russia, or other parts of the world to be used in a fraudulent manner. We're able to keep that complete separation, do immediate encryption, both hardware and software encryption, tokenization, point-to-point encryption, and then take care of any other compliance issues like EMV.
So let's talk about EMV, and I'm particularly interested, Tony and Bob, in getting the perspective of these small merchants around EMV. What are they talking about? Do they believe it's something that they need to do? Are they prepared to do it? How are you helping them manage this shift?
It's been a real challenge over the last 2 years. So when the EMV standard was really being discussed, even as recently as a year and a half ago, we were trying to communicate with our customers, hey, this is coming. We need to make sure that you're prepared for it. And the general response we got was yawns, or it's 2 years out, or what's that? Yeah, that's never going to happen. You know, they do a little bit of research and see how many times it's been pushed back. And we weren't getting a lot of traction with it. We were convinced and we knew that it was coming, and we wanted to make sure that the shortcut side was prepared for it. But getting our consumers and our really the merchants and the owners to understand the importance of it and why became interesting, an interesting challenge and a puzzle for us. And then two things happened that really kind of helped change the conversation. One was our largest customer, Sport Clips, saw the writing on the wall as well and said, hey, we need to make sure we're absolutely compliant with this, and let's make sure it happens. And so when you're talking a chain of 1,500 sites and they're putting out the communications, it makes it much easier for us to point to them and say, hey, guys, you know, they're taking it seriously. You need to as well. Right at the same time, the Target breach happened.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, that press started happening, and the media started talking about EMV. And being able to go and point to an article in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal talking about it and, hey, this is coming, and all merchants are going to have to be compliant, became suddenly a very compelling message, because it's not just simply a shortcut saying you need to do this. It's now the media is reporting that it's actually really a requirement. And that ball started rolling. There's a lot of struggles within the environment in that, hey, it's, you know, new hardware. You're going to have to acquire that at a cost. You're either going to pay for it in merchant fees, you're going to pay for the hardware up front. But it's also understanding that the risk factors goes down so much. And the way we've been really trying to talk to our customers about it is it's part of an insurance package, basically. And the nice thing is for the hardware, you pay for it once and you're done. But it's the awareness is really starting to pick up, and more people are becoming concerned about it and aware of it. But at the same time, there's going to always be those who aren't just plugged in or not paying as much attention. And I think October of 2015 is going to get very interesting for a lot of people as they suddenly realize, and oh, yeah, we should have been paying attention earlier.
Do you think, Tony and Bob, that, I mean, clearly the Target breach was a turning point. I even call it the black swan of payments, because I do think that was one of the pivotal turning points in payments to kind of get the EMV movement going. But are they also looking at things like Apple Pay and trying to understand the relationship between going mobile, which is how their customers are booking increasingly their reservations, and doing things to support EMV? Are they confused about how to decide one versus the other and prioritize them?
There's definitely some confusion about it. The Apple Pay, interestingly enough, we had a bet running in my office as to how long it would take after the announcement for us to get our first call from a customer asking them when we would support it.
How long did it take?
20 minutes.
20 minutes, that's 20, amazing.
20 minutes from the time that it was announced on stage to the first phone call from a client saying, when are you guys going to have it?
That's amazing.
The beauty of it is we're going to have it very shortly, and that's one of the advantages of with us, with Auris Pay and their technology, is that they were already working on it, it was already in the process, and we'll have it very shortly here. What we're telling clients with it is, hey, if you're being smart about this, when we upgrade you to EMV, let's make sure we get you on a terminal that supports Apple Pay, that supports Google Wallet, that supports the other NFC-type technologies at the same time, because we can do it basically at the same cost as long as they're being smart about it, you know, picking the right terminal and the right approach. But it's also making sure that, again, that you've got the right technology, and that's where Auris Pay really becomes useful to us and very helpful, is that they deal with that piece of it. All we have to have is a terminal that supports it. They take care of the certification process with the different processors, like First Data, Vantiv, those guys who need the data. We don't have to worry about it from the software standpoint, but it allows us to offer that value to our customers very quickly.
Gotcha. Hey, Bob, do you have any thoughts on this, for further things to add?
Well, you know, I think EMV, you know, protects a lot of the card issuers out in the market. I don't think they're going to help Tony sell any more point-of-sale systems by offering it. It sort of becomes an unnecessary compliance challenge. And that's the complexity of payments. Payments, you know, is constantly coming up with different compliance challenges, whether you have to add a new piece of data, whether you have to have a more detail-based receipt, whether you're going to have to add a PIN. I mean, right now we're working with chip and signature, but we see coming down to the market, and we're preparing for chip and PIN, you know, integrations that we see in other parts of the world. And so Tony and his development schedule doesn't really have to worry about that. We're taking care of those types of additions, and then the merchants who have Tony's service get it automatically when you know, when it's required, because we're always focusing on payments.
So. Just to wrap up, I think this has been a really fascinating conversation, because it's really been about the needs and requirements of not just a small merchant, but in a particular category of merchant, which I think has some unique characteristics. I just want to get a couple more points about how these guys and gals who are running these businesses are making their decisions. Are they responding to what consumers are asking, or are they just trying to get a little bit ahead of what they see as an opportunity or a trend that they should be taking advantage of? Tony?
It's a little bit of both. The clients and the consumers are driving a lot of the behavior. They're coming in saying, I want to be able to do this. And there's going to always be a little bit of the reaction. But at the same time, they look to shortcuts, and it's one of our advantages in the market is that we tend to lead the way in new features and functionality, things like text message integration, where we can confirm an appointment with a client via text message instead of a phone call, and two-way communications. They're looking for that, what's going to make their lives easier. And I think in-chair payments, which is coming, is something that's going to be very similar to that, where it's you're engaging that customer in that environment, you know, where they're more comfortable, where they're less likely to be concerned. You walk up to a register, you know that the hard sell's coming, and so consumers tend to react to that differently. Whereas if you're still sitting in the chair after a nice massage or a nice haircut and color, then it's much easier to, the resistance to purchasing is less, and they don't feel like it's a hard sell. It's more just a natural part of that flow. And so tying all that experience together is going to be important. But we're seeing more and more develop with things like membership programs in this space and other types of business models where the payment solutions really have to be able to adapt and reflect what that consumer is looking for. And so it's looking forward to that and trying to help our customers identify what those are in advance and helping them be prepared for it.
So this suggests that this whole idea of the fixed terminal, you know, at the checkout is really going to evolve to something that is much more mobile, in chair, in the treatment room, where you just take care of it, or you've provided some sort of wallet credential that you just basically activate on your own phone. I mean, isn't that where this is going?
I think it is, and I think it's also that you're going to be, you need to be prepared to engage that consumer wherever they're at that moment. And if that means that they're in the chair, if they're at their home, they're on the go on their phone, or they're standing at the register, they're at cash wrap desk, you have to be prepared to engage them where they're at on their terms in the way that they want to do it. So it's seamless, and I think the wallet is probably one of the best ways to get them there.
So when you say wallet, obviously it's Apple Pay. Are you hearing from your merchant clients other things that they're interested in supporting? Do they have a real understanding of what consumers are looking for when they say, I want to pay online with a wallet?
They understand that they want to be able to pay without having to re-key card information every single time and to do it quickly and seamlessly. Wallet, they don't necessarily understand what that means technology-wise, but again, that's where Shortcuts and Auris Pay really shine, is that they don't have to understand it. They just know that, hey, we have a technology that will let you do that quickly and using things like tokenization, where we can store that information, store the transaction information in a way that is 100% secure, makes it very, very easy for them to have those transactions and know that they're not going to get themselves into trouble.
So, Bob, you kind of have the last word here. Wrap us up with respect to this particular facet of retail, the requirements, the challenges, and the opportunities as we've discussed them.
Yeah. So what's interesting, somebody once said to me, actually, in another industry, they said, what is the most important interaction with the customer? And they mentioned it was the last interaction with the customer. It's the last thing that they do. And in most cases, the last thing that they do is they get them to pay. And so you really want to make that a frictionless experience, very, very convenient. There was a recent study in the CFI, Group Retail Satisfaction, and it said that 51% of people indicated that they would be very likely to use a mobile app to speed up the checkout process. So anything that can add greater convenience. A lot of people have, mentioned that when they go to an Apple store, how convenient it is that they don't have to stand in a register line, that they can immediately complete that transaction. You know, we're seeing now with everybody holding a mobile device that they're going to want to be able to use it to complete their transaction. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of press coming up. I think you just mentioned recently something about Apple coming out, and they're going to be announcing something on their about their iPad. I think they're going to shake things up in terms of driving consumers and retailers to use mobile devices in the checkout process. They're going to make it more convenient and more engaging in the process.
I would agree. I mean, I think what's interesting, just speaking as a consumer also, there are a lot of salons that have the ability to manage bookings online and to confirm appointments, but very few have brought payment into that process. And so, you know, you're kind of almost there, but not quite there. So I think the opportunity to really embed payment into that experience not only saves time and reduces friction, but to your point, Tony, it improves the service level that the salon or spa delivers to that consumer, because you just don't even think about it. It's just part of that whole bookings process, and it doesn't become something else to do. Well, guys, it was great to get chatting with you about this. I really enjoyed the opportunity to get your views on an important segment of the merchant market. Bob, Tony, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.